Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators, a podcast for translators by translators, bringing you simple strategies to build better habits. In each episode, we'll focus on specific habits for translators in various stages of their careers. If you're a translator who enjoys learning about habits to improve your business and lifestyle, then this is the podcast for you. We're your hosts, Madalena Sanchez-Zampalo
and Veronica De Michelis. Like you, we are professional freelance translators trying to balance the challenges that come with building a career and maintaining clarity and boundaries between work and personal life. We hope you'll join us in this conversation about smart habits and discover some simple strategies you can apply today to help you build your career and achieve the lifestyle you desire. Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators. This is episode 67. Before we dive into today's topic, let's do a smart habit check-in. What do you think, Madalena?
Yes, that sounds great to me. Let's do that. So, you know, this is nothing new, I guess, but it is something that I realized I was getting out of the habit of doing regularly, which is reading for fun. I have always tried to read a lot, but you know, I got out of the habit, and then we talked about here, I got back into the habit by reading for, you know, 20 minutes a day. And I actually got through a lot of books, especially last year. And this year too, I've probably read about 8 to 10 books. I mean, not a ton. I'd rather read more than that. But so one way that I'm working on this is to have a book that I read for 20 minutes a day, but now I'm also really enjoying some audiobooks. And I know some people are like, well, that's not reading, but it, you know, it's fine. So, yeah. And some books are just really nice to listen to, especially if the author reads them. Yes. I really like those usually.
I love that. Mm-hmm.
So I, to do this, I was like, okay, well, you know, Audible, which is Amazon's version of audiobooks, is, I think it's like $15 a month, which is fine and all, but you, if you get through an audiobook pretty quickly, then you have to wait for the next month if you don't want to just buy another book, you know, and so that can add up fast. So what I decided to do was try an app that I think it's about the same price. Honestly, it's not that different. So that sort of defeats the purpose of what I just said. But what I found is that this app, it's called Libro, like book in Spanish, Libro.fm. I feel, for some reason, I feel better about buying my audiobooks through them. And it's just as, it's honestly, for me, it's just as good as Audible as far as the selection. And at the same time that I am reading more in, you know, in quotation, in quotes, listening to books more, you can choose to, I think it's about 30%. When you buy a book, it donates 30% to your local bookstore. Mm-hmm. So you get to choose the bookstore when you sign into the app for the first time, and maybe you can change it up, I'm not sure. But even if you don't have a local independent bookstore near you, if there's one that you know of somewhere else, I think you can select it. And every time you buy a book to listen to, you get to, you know, a part of your purchase goes toward that. So it's sort of like a dual purpose habit. It's like do good for the local bookstore and also work on my smart habit of reading more.
I love it. Great. I am following the advice that I saw on LinkedIn. It's a colleague of ours. She shared it on LinkedIn not too long ago. Her name is Yasmin Alkashef. And I read it and I was like, this makes so much sense. And I feel like I've been doing that before. And then I just got out of habit. And it actually links pretty nicely to the topic of today's episode. So she wrote, I could probably link to that post in our show notes. She wrote about the one-touch rule. That she learned from organizational videos and videos on like cleaning and organizing. And that has to do with like, if you touch something once, just get it done. And, you know, if it's like sorting junk mail or you received a bill paid right away, don't, you know, postpone it, or your invoice got paid, just put it into your tracking tool right away. So I read it and I was like, this makes so much sense. And I want to make a habit of it too, again. So I've been working on that. And so whenever I touch something, I always think, okay, one touch rule, can I get it done right away? Do I really have to like put it away and do it later? Or can I just handle it right here and now so that I don't have to worry about it? And you know, if it only takes a couple of minutes, it's just worth saving that that time and effort, not postponing it until later.
Oh yeah. And I've heard that same rule from another colleague, Dorothea Reset, related to email. Which that's really tough, because a lot of times you'll open an email and you realize you don't have time to deal with it yet and you close it. And so it's harder to, I think, just open it once and deal with it, especially because you don't really know what's in there.
I'm kind of torn when it comes to this rule mm-hmm. regarding emails, because it's true, but there are also there are often cases where I feel like I shouldn't rush it, and I tend to be like, I just want to be done with it, I just want to handle it and mm-hmm. just like reply. But then I typically regret that I haven't mentioned something, or if, you know, maybe mm-hmm. I feel like it was a little sloppy, or I forgot to say something important. So I now, if it's an important topic, I will actually deliberately mark it unread again and think about it and let it kind of sit so that I develop a better answer. So,
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I know it's kind of a hit or miss thing, but I can imagine with some things it works really well, with others probably mm-hmm. not.
Yeah, so true. All right, so back to the topic of today's episode. We will talk about tools for organization and follow through. As professional translators and business owners, we have to keep so many things organized to make sure that our businesses run efficiently. And there are so many things that can be organized, right? Finances, client projects and information, plans for our business, marketing campaigns, glossaries, and so much more. Keeping your systems in check by using tools that help you stay organized and follow through on your projects and communications is vital to the overall health of your business. And it can also be vital to your own health, because being disorganized can cause stress, anxiety, worry, and a general sense of feeling bad about yourself. I know I feel that way when there's any kind of mess or overwhelm around me, be it around my physical space or in my digital tools. I just feel like it's really hard to focus. And I also feel like I'm always a few steps behind. I spend precious time trying to figure out what I need to do just because of that sort of accumulated junk mm-hmm. around me, or be it on my desktop, on my computer, or even in my email. Mm-hmm. So it's just a feeling of kind of you're feeling upset with yourself that you let it come to that, because it could probably take 5 minutes, you know, if you first received a file or put a paper on your desk, to put it away where it's supposed to go, mm-hmm. or like to archive it or to shred it or deal with it somehow. But now that you have a whole pile of them, it will probably take you much longer than that, maybe an hour or more. So where are you going to find that time now? It's also hard to find the things you need if you are not very well organized in your physical space or your computer or your email. And it's so much more efficient more efficient when it comes to work, and it's faster to find the things you need mm-hmm. if you have a proper filing and organizational system that works for you. And then, of course, my favorite, that's actually irony, you know, the thing that kills me the most, it's really like death by 1,000 open tabs. And I'm not,
same
I'm
here.
Not dropping any hints here, not at all. But I just, like, I can't focus when I have too many tabs open. Uh-huh. And mm-hmm. I feel the pain, because you're like, well, I need all these things, or I will need them soon. But I find it really hard to focus on anything else when I have all these things open around me. And the same goes, you know, with saving files on your desktop. I feel the same way. Mm-hmm. And I have found eventually tools that work for me to prevent that from happening. And I'll show them later on. But that's my thoughts on this. What about you, Madalena? Do you agree that our systems and tools can bring us a sense of calm and peace in business, or the opposite if you don't have a good system?
Yes. Yeah, I think that's definitely true. And I think, I feel pretty good about the fact that when somebody sends me a file or something, sends it, like we're talking electronic here for now. Yeah. I put it directly into the folder that it goes in. Because I am afraid that I'm going to lose it, and I know I'll need it at some point. I mean, there's always the fact that you can go back to email to find something. But even that, I mean, I had a client yesterday, email me. I had worked on editing a book for her like 6 months ago, maybe. I don't know. And she said, I'm sorry, I can't find the file you sent me. And of course, my obvious thought is, just check your email, it's there. But I didn't say that. But I was like, yes, I know I have it. And it took me literally seconds to send it to her again. Yeah. And luckily I still had the files, you know, from that, you know, 'cause I know a lot of people delete theirs after a certain period of time, and everybody differs on how long that period is, but mm-hmm. I had it. And even if I didn't, it was in my email, so it was, you know, it's fine. But yeah, it's that kind of thing. So files, like electronic stuff, I feel like I'm pretty good at keeping things organized. I'm like you with, though, with the keeping a ton of tabs open, especially if I'm working on a translation or writing an article for a client, because there's a lot of research involved. There's a lot of different places you need to go and sources, especially with writing, you've got to cite things. And you don't want to lose with the great, you know, resource you just had. But sometimes, you know, once you're done with it, you forget to close that tab or whatever the case may be. And so they do add up. So that can definitely be overwhelming. I agree. Because then you find yourself clicking between tabs to find the thing you need. But what I have found in my office space, and the thing that does bring me stress, and also this is the same for me at home, so it's probably related, is the like stacks of papers from, like, if you go to an event, because that's where you typically will get a lot of papers, or if there's something that's come in the mail, like, let's say, a trade magazine, or, I don't know, something you need to deal with that just happened to come through the mail, because I don't get that much in the mail anymore. I get most things electronically, but, you know, every once in a while. And I need to file it away, and I probably have a place for it, but at the time I'm so busy, I just put it down. And those stacks over time really add up. So when they do add up, it's like hard to find the time to go through it all and decide, okay, what do I really need to keep? What can I toss, shred, you know, whatever do I need to file away? Yeah. And I feel like that's the last thing I want to do, you know, but it definitely does take a toll when you see that, you know. I keep my space pretty organized, I feel. I think I shared my desk once and people said that's not a mess, you know, because I was saying for me it was messy and they were like, no, that's nothing. But I just don't work with a lot of papers anyway. But
yeah,
I do like to have a clean slate. It helps me to focus better. And I think that's true for many people, whether they realize it or not. So yeah, it can be a source of stress and anxiety, or it can be a source of calm for sure. And yeah, we can get into some of what we think as far as, you know, what tools we think are good. So let's talk about some scenarios. We sort of touched on some here, but let's talk about some scenarios where tools can come in handy for staying organized. So one of the things we discussed, of course, was files, because that's, we all deal with files every day. And so that's definitely something that if you have a good system that works for you, and note that not everybody's system works for everybody else, right? But if you have a good system that works for you, you know, I think that's one of the things that's most important to consider, is like, where's a scenario that's giving you frustration? And maybe start there. For me, one is definitely email, right? Because the thing with email is that you just never know when you're going to have more coming in, right? You can't plan for it, and you never know who's going to write to you and when. And some days you open your email and it's like not that many, and other days you open it and it's like 50 new emails. And so I think there having a system makes a lot of sense. And we have an episode on email organization, actually, that we should link to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's link to that. And then, you know, email is one, because we all, translators, we tend to work via email. And so I think that's definitely an area scenario where you want to have some tools to keep track of things, as well as things like your projects. You know, how are you keeping track of things on your end, and where are you storing your clients' files? And then, things like you said, like glossaries and TMs and all of that good stuff is, you know, because if you can't find it, that's a huge source of frustration, right?
Yeah,
when you need it the most. And then another area I think that also a lot of people struggle with, and it's not just translators and interpreters by any means, but I think, you know, maybe we'd say freelancers in general for sure, is keeping track of your finances in a way that makes it easier for you come tax time, or when you need to figure out, you know, budgeting or something like that. Everybody has their own system, and everybody should have a system. But even, you know, even if you're using an accounting software or an accountant, you do have to have a certain level of organization. And I think that this is an area where having a tool to stay organized can come in very handy. Because if you can get to things easily and find what you need easily, then in general, I think your finances won't feel as frustrating. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. What about you? When do you think tools come in handy to stay on top of all that we have going on in business?
Yeah, I really like the examples you've mentioned. I would also say anything that has to do with projects that you have completed or the ones that you're working on. And that is really individual. Like, I've listened to many different people explain how they label their folders and, you know, what helps them find the client projects quickly. And it's so different. Like, some people prefer to label absolutely everything, and others, for others, it may be overwhelming just to have that much information in a title of a folder, for example. So they would just want the name of the client or the date, or they may have their own system that works for them. But I do think it's good to find what makes sense to you, and that can change over time. So I've had over, you know, since I've started freelancing, I've probably changed my my system for organizing a folder with client work a couple of times, as I kind of, you know, eased into it and realized what works for me and what helps me find information quicker. And then professional development, because, you know, we all take courses from time to time. We take various types of training. We attend conferences. And sometimes those come with recordings or handouts or certificates of attendance. Or maybe you have your own spreadsheet where you track, you know, the things you have completed throughout the year and what you want to complete in the next quarter or, you know, then the following year or whatever. So again, these kind of things are important to find a system for, so that you can find those certificates of attendance quickly if you need to submit them, for example, for continuing educational units or credits with whatever credential organization you're in. Or maybe you want to not forget and list them in your resume or your LinkedIn profile or anywhere else where you want to let your clients know what kind of training you have completed recently that's relevant to the type of work you do. So these are important. And then oftentimes we read articles or blog posts or access any kind of resources that we feel will be helpful to us in future projects. And that it's a good idea to find a way to organize those as well. And I've seen that many times. And also if you teach part-time, like I teach as well, and I often read articles in professional magazines or online that I think, oh, this will be great to mention to my students or share with my students in the next term, and that will be in a few months maybe. So I want to make sure I don't lose that link. So for me, it's crucial to find a way to store it somewhere where I will find it quickly and also remember that I have that information available. Or as you mentioned, glossaries, term basis, any online sources that you often use in your translation or interpreting work that you want to use in the future as well. And marketing campaigns as well. You know, any information about your clients, maybe templates you're using to contact and follow up with your clients, the status updates, when have you last been in touch with them? Have you signed up with them? Have you sent them your CV and so on? Some kind of system to organize that process as well. So let's talk about specific tools, shall we?
Yes, definitely.
We all have tools that make our life easier, our professional life easier. I know we both love Asana. I learned about that tool from you when we first met, and I never looked back. I tried to dabble with Trello, and I really realized that Asana works best for me.
Me too.
It's so good. So I'm using it for my own work. I'm using it to keep track and organize the work in the courses I teach, the volunteer projects, and so on. I also have a couple of tools that I love to organize those pesky open tabs in your browser. I think I've shared in the past that I really like the plugin called OneTab. And that helps kind of minimize or get rid of the tabs, put them out of sight when you don't need them right away, but they're still there and you can still find them in this OneTab list and open them up again, and they never disappear unless you remove them from there. And also, if you use Chrome, you can organize open tabs in groups. And I've been using it more and more lately. So if I'm translating and I have several dictionaries or glossaries open, I put them together in a tab group. and I call them, you know, you can come up with a name, you can even assign a label or a particular color to it. And it only opens up, sort of kind of maximizes if you hover over it or click on it. But if you click on another tab, it's kind of goes away. So you only see the name of the tab group and not all the tabs that are under that group.
Oh, maybe that's sense. What I need to do, because yeah, I tried the one tab. Yeah, I tried the one tab thing and it didn't work for me because I wanted to keep certain tabs open and so it would I couldn't choose the ones that I wanted to separate. I would have to actually click them again. Yeah. So with what you're saying now, I'm like, how is that different from bookmarks with folders?
Well, it's different because it's not in the bookmark. It's not in the bookmark bar. Mm-hmm. It looks like a tab, but there are kind of sub tabs within it. But it doesn't look overwhelming, you know, in the sense that you don't have all of them open all at once in front of you. They kind of they're hidden under the title of that tab group, and you can see them all at once if you click on the on the name of the tab group.
Interesting.
I'll have to show it to you, and we'll also can include the link in the show notes. But I learned about it not long ago, and I was like, this is perfect, because there are certain things about one tab that don't work very well for me. Mm-hmm. The thing with tab groups, though, is once you close the browser, they're gone too. So, you know, it's kind of like for that particular time that you're working with them, they're not going to stay there forever.
Okay.
Unless you have set it up so that all the tabs reopen after you restart your browser. You know, that's possible too.
Oh. Okay.
And then I use QuickBooks for anything that has to do with invoicing, receiving payments from clients, and so on. And I like following that one-touch rule. You know, whenever I see a notification that a payment came through from a client, I like to go into QuickBooks right away and just get, you know, assign it to a proper category and take care of the, you know, mark the invoice paid, and that way it's done. Because I've learned from experience that if you postpone it, it takes way longer. It feels so much more overwhelming than getting it done right away. I use a spreadsheet, just a simple Excel spreadsheet, to keep some basic information about my clients, past clients and current clients, my rates, how much I enjoy working with clients and why, and so on. So that's just kind of basic information for me that helps me keep track of the clients that I want to reach out to, if it's for holidays or for any particular reason, and also gives me information on the type of clients I really enjoy working with and how it works for me financially.
Cool.
And then I use Google Docs and templates in Gmail to create templates for emails that I send out regularly. That really saves me time, that I don't have to write them out from scratch. And a couple more that I really enjoy, the reading list in Chrome. You know, any articles that you feel like, oh, I want to read that later when I have time. If you save them in a reading list in Chrome, you can actually find them quickly. And then if you have a few minutes, and they sync across your devices. So if you log into Chrome, you open that reading list and you can see all the things that you have marked to be read. And then last but not least, I've mentioned it in the past as well, I use OneNote to keep track of my notes from, say, conferences or meetings, professional development. So I have sections there for all the different courses and trainings that I take, and any handouts, any links to recordings and so on, any login information and stuff like that. I just put it in there, and it's so much easier for me to keep track of that. And also, it's all searchable, and you can assign hashtags and find information you need quickly. And I also use it to keep track of resources that I find useful in my work, like links, glossaries, sources of information on any specific subjects, and so on. So that's my go-to tool for that kind of stuff. What about you, Madalena? What tools do you like to use?
Yeah, well, we use a lot of the same tools, so I won't talk a lot about like QuickBooks or anything, but I do use QuickBooks too, and I recommend that as well. And it's also easy for my accountant and tax preparer to go and just get in there, as you know, so I don't have to find all the reports and send it to them. There's a way for them to log in separately, so I really like that tool. I also use Asana. I mean, I have been telling people about Asana for at least 5 or 6 years. I really love this tool. And, you know, I hear from people that they say, oh, I don't like Asana. And I get it. But at the same time, if you don't set it up properly, you won't like it. I really think that. Like, I think if you don't set it up to make it work for you, you're going to not really find it that useful, because it's not the most intuitive thing at first. You really have, I mean, it's gotten better, because it used to be that they didn't even have some of the templates they have now, which I don't use those most of the time, but I know a lot of people do. And it's one of the best ways to stay organized and to give yourself reminders and tasks and things. I mean, it's like a powerhouse, and I use the free version. So highly recommend Asana. Yeah. I've been using Google Docs and spreadsheets more with my team. It's not something I loved, and there are certain things I really don't like about it still, to be honest. But the real time, working is very nice to be able to do that with Google Docs and spreadsheets. And it's not like it's a new tool to anybody. But syncing across devices is super nice. And, those are some obvious tools, right? But, something else that I do use the bookmarks quite often in Chrome, and I have folders for my bookmarks as well. So I find I'm very quick with that. It works for the way that my brain operates, I guess, similar to my file setup. And so my bookmarks are in the bookmarks tab, and I have some that I use regularly that stay on the toolbar, like I think most people do. And then I have some that are just kept handy as a, you know, drop down if you go up to the browser and you do the bookmarks. And I have one that I tend to use quite often that has saved me so much time. And I don't know why I wasn't doing this from the very beginning, but I've been doing it for several years now. And it's honestly, it's been great. Is I have one folder for client portals. So we all have clients that have different portals or servers or things like that. And they could be direct clients, or they could be agency clients, whomever they are. It just makes it easier to get there quickly, and you don't have to like even think about maybe typing in the first few letters of whatever the web address is to get to their portal. The password is saved already, because I also use, I think it's called LastPass, OnePass, what is it called? The password keeper tool that we've talked about here before, which I think is extremely handy. I love that tool. And I think it's called LastPass, by the way. I pay for that. It's per year. I don't even remember how much it is per year. It's 1,000% worth it, especially for those tools online or portals or websites that make you update your password. Or if you just want to update your password or have stronger passwords, I highly recommend that tool. Yeah. It makes everything faster, because there's nothing worse than saying, what was my password for this again? And wasting a lot of time. Right. So that's one that I really love as well. And, you know, there are so many different tools that we could talk about probably, and probably a lot that many people use. But what I do, and the way I think about this, is use the tools that work for you that will be most efficient for what you need, right? Because there are tools that anybody could talk about. And so we're sharing some of ours here, obviously, but they don't work for everybody, because not everybody has the same type of business or setup that we do. So, you know, there is one client that I work with where we have to scan a lot of affidavits, notarized affidavits of translation. And I use now it's called Genius Scan, which I think I may have mentioned here before, to scan all of those documents. And then I use the tool called AirDrop, which is an Apple tool. I don't know if you would call that an app. It's not really an app. It's from Apple. And so I use an Apple phone, and I'm a Mac user, and I can send it directly from my phone through AirDrop immediately to my computer and save it. It's a PDF. Yeah. So that is super, super fast. I love that tool. I do use Slack with some clients. And so that's a nice thing to keep track of conversations and stay out of your inbox. I know some people don't love Slack, but if you do have a full team that likes to use it, like wherever your clients you're working with, or if you're working with other people in your business, it can be really nice to use something like that and not be inundated all the time in your inbox, and or distracted by other things in your inbox. And then finally, I really like a tool that I may have mentioned here before, but now I don't recall. It's called Airtable. Are you familiar with Airtable?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. Airtable is a really fun tool. I think that it's gotten so much better. Like, I remember using it when it first came out, and it was okay. And then I stopped using it for a while, and then I just went to the ACES conference in San Antonio in April, and somebody was using Airtable with multiple people, so that's an option too. Like, if you work in a collaborative group, or mm-hmm. if you're working even with clients, I think it would be excellent to keep track of, you know, new terms being used, how they're being used. It syncs in real time. And I was just looking at it the other day because I knew I wanted to mention it here. And I figured if I'm going to mention it, I want to make sure that they have like a strong privacy, policy and privacy settings. And they do. So if you're interested in that, check it out. I think they're HIPAA compliant as well. So for people who are concerned about anything like that, with not that you're going to put your client's medical information in there or names, but even medical terminology, like if you're trying to keep track of certain things for clients, whether it's a style sheet or whether it's a glossary, Airtable is awesome. So I think I'm going to start using Airtable more now for a lot of different things because it just seems to have so much more capacity than it used to. And I really love the idea of being able to work with other people in it as well, you know, at the same time and have it sync in the cloud. So, I mean, you couldn't use it for everything, but you could use it for quite a bit. And it is another type of organizational powerhouse for certain things. So I think that could be, especially maybe for glossaries, really handy. So something to check out.
That's really cool. And I wanted to comment on something you said earlier, where I think it's so easy listening to us now, or just whenever colleagues share about the tools you're using, to go like, oh my gosh, there are so many tools I should be using. Well, it doesn't mean that you have to. You only have to use the tools that reflect the needs that you have. So if
right.
you look at, you know, what is there currently in your work that is causing you grief, or you feel like there's bottlenecks mm-hmm. or things that take you way longer than they maybe should. So look at that and see what are, you know, the areas that you should prioritize, and maybe look into a tool for that particular area. So whatever works for one person will probably, you know, it doesn't necessarily work for you. And also maybe that's not a need for you. Maybe there's something mm-hmm. else that you need.
Yes, definitely. And I think that's most important. Like, you don't need a ton of tools. You just need the right tools for you. And it can be mm-hmm. very few in the end, really.
Yeah.
So to round out our conversation on tools to stay organized and follow through on things, what about tools that we can use in our everyday lives? So perhaps they aren't related to business, but they do affect how we feel and function, which ultimately does affect our business. So I've been thinking about this, and I think that there are always, similarly to what we just said, there are always tools that people will recommend and everything. And, you know, I know sometimes people recommend things or apps to me, and I check them out, and I'm excited about them, and then I realize, you know, there's not really a need in my life for this, so I just sort of forget about it. So that's something too, is to just, you know, keep an open mind and say, what is it that is that feels disorganized or seems to always drive me crazy when I can't find this or I can't get this done or it seems like it's hard to do? And I think that's where you might want to look first. But So one of the obvious things for me, and it's something we've been talking about here for quite some time, is that I also use a paper planner. I do use tools like Asana and my calendar and different things like that, but I really, I don't know if it's a visual thing or just the ability to remember things better because I'm writing it down. I do like to use my full focus planner, and I still use mine. I went back and forth with some other tools for a while, but this one just seems like, for me, such a good fit with the way that the tasks are set up. You get to choose your big three for the day, the things that are most important to get done. And the schedule listed on there for me has enough space for the bazillion meetings that I have. So I really like the space set up as well, and that it's vertical. I don't know, for some reason, the planners that have a lot of horizontal spaces don't work for me. And I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's because I prefer lists. I'm not sure. And then it has a full notes page for every day, every single day. And that I use quite a bit. So it's nice because I can keep my notes then handy on the right day. And I don't know, for me, I don't often need to transfer my notes to digital, I find. Mm-hmm. I could. And for some things, it's handy. And I probably do like once or twice a year. It's very rare. Mm-hmm. So Yeah, I really love that one for sure. And then for little things that I'm like, oh, I don't want to forget to do this, like cancel such and such subscription or something, I will use, again, I'm an Apple user, but I use the Reminders app for that because it's one of those things that it will sync up with my phone and I can do it from my desktop. If I think of something, you know, out of the blue, like while I'm working, like, oh, I don't want to forget this, I'll add it to the Reminders and then I'll see it later when I need it. But otherwise, it's out of sight. But it will come up at some point and I'll be reminded to do it. So I really like those tools are really simple, right? Mm-hmm. And that's another thing I think we need to mention is that tools that you use don't have to be complicated.
Exactly.
Yeah. What about you? What are your thoughts on tools to use outside of your business, but that if you don't have things organized in a certain way, it can really affect what goes on in your business?
Mm. Well, I love the Full Focus Planner too. I also have another just a regular paper planner, which is my mm-hmm. family master plan with two kids and my husband's busy schedule and mine and, you know, vet mm-hmm. appointments and whatever else needs to be done around the house. That mm-hmm. is what I use to keep track of our schedules and tasks that aren't related to my professional life.
So is it paper or digital? Because I do that paper. One on digital.
Oh. Yeah. So I have to have a paper one. I mean, I do digital. I have a digital calendar where I also put my family appointments mm-hmm. and like kids stuff. But these are really just appointments. They're not necessarily things we need to do or reminders or notes. Okay. These are just for appointments only. And then the planner I keep for family stuff also has, that's where I, you know, note down things we need to do that week or priorities, mm-hmm. reminders.
Interesting. And so yeah. I've been putting that in the digital calendar that I share with my husband and we use mm-hmm. a different color for the family stuff, but now yeah. I'm interested in this. Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay.
So I do that. And when we had Marina Ilari here, I laughed because I also love using alarms on my phone. I have obviously an alarm to like wake up and so on. But then I have one when I need to get the kids up and ready for breakfast. I also have one when it's time to go pick the kids up from school. I use a timer on my phone when I have, say, 10-15 minutes and I just want to clean something up around the house. So I set the timer for 10-15 minutes or however long I have and do as much as I can in that time. And what I don't manage to finish, it's fine. That's for another time. Mm-hmm. Wow. I think we are both probably organization nerds and could keep talking about this all day.
Yep, probably.
But that's all the time we have for this week. And yeah, it'll be fun to know what our colleagues are using as well.
Yes, definitely. If you'd like to share your own tools for staying organized or following through, please leave a comment on the show notes page for this episode. And you'll find that on our website under the number for this episode, which is 67. Or you can tag us on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Or you can email us at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com.
Yeah, let us know what your favorite tools are. And don't forget that our email subscribers will get a summary of today's episode, including the links to all the resources that we mentioned today. So if you're not receiving our emails yet, please sign up on our website, smarthabitsfortranslators.com.
And if you liked this episode, we'd love it if you would share it with a colleague or friend and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. This only takes a minute and reviews help other translators and interpreters find the podcast. So we really appreciate your time. If you're not sure how to leave a review, we've recorded a quick video tutorial to show you how to do it. You can find that in our show notes.
Talk to you soon. We hope you enjoyed this episode and discovered some simple strategies that you can apply today at work or at home to help you achieve the lifestyle you desire. If you did, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
If you have a topic you want us to cover, please send us a message at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com. If you like this episode, we'd appreciate if you'd leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. And please share the podcast with other translators you know.